You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
The scripture will be in Romans 16, verse 25 to the end. Our scripture reading is in Romans, the 16th chapter. And it's my own translation here, so it'll be a little different than yours, but I think it'll throw a little more light on it, too. I take the full responsibility for it in the case. Verse 25. Now to him that is of power to establish you, according to my gospel, and the proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to a revelation of a mystery, which was hushed up since age times, but now is made manifest through the prophetic writings, according to a command of the eternal God, made known to all nations for faith obedience. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. And now may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of this, his holy word. And this for Christ Jesus' sake, and in whose name we ask it. Amen. Best laid plans of mice and men go astray. While he was singing that song, in the verse just above our textual reading, in verse 20, this verse really leaped out at me. I don't know what it means, but the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. It's an encouraging thing, anyhow. You know, everything has a beginning and everything has a conclusion. Not an end, a conclusion. Some, practically almost 30 years ago, I was preaching in Moore, Oklahoma. And I was preaching on this text. And I came to the statement in the last clause of verse 26 that the subject matter he's writing about was to all nations for faith obedience. And the word mystery appeared up in verse 25. And you'll notice in your Bible it has a definite article, the mystery. Now, Paul wasn't writing about the mystery here, but he's writing about a mystery. Nevertheless, the Holy Spirit arrested my attention. If there was a body of truth called a mystery, then I needed to understand it, because it was given to me for my faith obedience. It was there I started in the study of the mystery. And now, 30 years later, it's called to my attention again, but in its proper context. There are many mysteries that were given to the Apostle Paul, like not only only to him, but also there are mysteries concerning the kingdom. Now, the value is so overwhelming when you really see it, the mystery, that it defies, there's not enough words to tell you what the content is. Although it's contained in practically just four books. Seven books were written, but the four of them practically consume everything that you learn in the mystery from. That's Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and 2 Timothy. But in the importance to you to remember this, wherever you're studying the Bible, you're dealing with a truth, not the truth. And this is why in the Colossian letter, in chapter 1, and verse 25 and 26, so now I'm made a minister according to the administration of God, which is given to me for you to fill to the full, a complete, the word of God, even the mystery, which had been hid from the ages and from the generations, but now made manifest to the saints. Now, it's not something hidden anymore. is made manifest. Occasionally I hear somebody say, well, God has not made that known. God has made it known. Just because people are ignorant about it, there's no excuse. It's there. He has made it known. It's not a hidden truth any longer. It's out in the open. You'd think it was hidden because of people's ignoring it. But it's not hidden at all. It's out for everybody, every one of God's people. And the responsibility of Christendom is vast because it's been neglected all these centuries. I realize through history there's been men here and there that have captured in their heart this truth, but there are so few that it hardly even needs to be discussed. The rank and file of God's people know nothing about this truth, and here's the importance of it. All the truths of the Bible are simply a truth until you come to the mystery. It becomes the, what's the word I need to use? The key that cements all truth. It is the all truth that Jesus referred to in Romans 6, John 16, when he said, I have many things to say to you, but you can't bear them now. But when he, the Holy Spirit, has come, he will guide you into all truth. This is what we're talking about. It is the truth that makes all the A-truths become the truth. For instance, turn to 1 Corinthians just to give an illustration of that. When Paul came to Corinth, verse 1, I came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. I determined to not know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Howbeit, verse 6, we speak wisdom among them that are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the princes of this age that come to naught, but we speak wisdom of God in a secret, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, I had not seen or ear heard, neither they entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them. A lot of people quote that verse and say, well, you see, there's some things you can't know. It's not true. God has revealed truth, the truth. And that's Jesus Christ. He said, I am the truth. And you'll notice it isn't until you get to the mystery you understand that. It's there you learn that all the fullness of the Godhead bodily is dwelling in him. There you learn that without controversy, great is this great mystery of God, that God is manifest in the flesh. Here's where these truths come to culmination, you see. This secret here of God's intention, the crucifixion. The leaders of this world would not have crucified him had they known. The Bible tells us that. You see, but that was in God's purpose. It was his hidden thing. But now it's no secret anymore. Everybody know it. Everybody should know about it. See? We learned last week about another secret. The secret of lawlessness or iniquity. We learned in the 11th chapter of Romans that Israel as a nation has been blinded. And how long? Until when? The full number of the Gentiles come in. See? Somebody has to open their eyes. And you see again, look at the field of prophecy today. The speculation about it all. There's no way you can bring together the truths of Scripture, and without the mystery, it is the fountainhead. You see that pulled. That's what it means when it says, "This was given to what? To complete the Word of God." Here you find the completion of Christ. Here you find the saint complete. You are therefore complete in Him. See, without the mystery, there's no way you can bring these truths to fruition. Now you can see why Satan has blinded Christendom through these centuries. Because if the body of Christ had taken hold of these secrets and brought and traced them to their fruition in the mystery, not a mystery, but the mystery, then we would have become the light of the world. Think about that. I wish I had this place for a preacher this morning. I'd sure like to lay it on their back. They're the ones responsible. They have established traditions that you cannot break at all. And the problem with today is exactly what it was in the days of our Lord's flesh. Tradition. Let me say this. When you bring to people's mind a truth, or the truth, that upsets their apple cart, let me assure you, you've knocked the chip off of his shoulder, and the war's on. It doesn't make any difference who it is. You look at the human government. The minute you have an administration change, what's happening? Right now. It doesn't matter whether you're for or against Mr. Reagan. One thing you can note. At last, they've caught him in a corner. And the wolves are in there for the kill. You see? If I make one mistake about these teachings, and you know, I've had some face-to-face confrontations. Boy, they'll be all over me like a pack of wolves. And they've tried it a time or two. Thank God, he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. You see? That's the value of the passion that should be aroused in you when you come to realize the possibilities. And you'll notice if you read carefully, and you ought to be a good reader, even in the English language, the superlative words that are used in the mystery, they're not found anywhere else in the Bible. In other words, it looks like the Holy Spirit energized Paul to use words that just people just didn't use. There's one thing after another. It isn't enough to say that in the ages to come, God has one great surprise. But he says exceedingly great surprises. See, he takes superlative words to try to emphasize so that he arrests your attention. I wish I had the ability to energize you as the Spirit of God moves. And I am only a vessel, and boy, I'm not a very good vessel. But I want you to know this. Of all my failures in life, and boy, there's a million of them. One thing I can say with the Apostle Paul concerning this truth, I have pursued it night and day since I come to realize there was a distinctiveness here. You'll find other mysteries of Paul's, but don't confuse them with the real article. There's the mystery of God's intention about salvation. We just read about it a while ago, about the crucifixion. There's the mystery of iniquity. There's the mystery of Israel's blindness, how long. There's the mystery of God, which is Christ. There's the mystery of Christ himself, which began to be unveiled back in Genesis 3:15, which Paul puts the capstone on. Namely, that in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You go on and on. You'll never run out of material. And the longer you live, and the longer you pursue this, the truth, the more beautiful the picture gets. It's like an artist who's got a wonderful picture. You can see it all right, but he hasn't got the picture finished. He's still painting. He's still unveiling, you see. He's unveiling his revelation to us. Wednesday night, we're dealing with chronology. Let me say this. For your importance of your study, you ought to come and sit in on these classes. Because here's time elements is the problem. That's why in prophecy today, all these preachers that you hear, they have a general pattern of things, which is a truth, all right. But they have missed the boat because of the time elements. And there's no way to understand the times and the seasons and ignore the mystery. It can't be done. There's no way. Here's the box. Here's Pandora's box that unlocks it all. And like Pandora's box, let me tell you, you got a lot of surprises when you get into it. For instance, a week before last, we looked at the fact that our Lord on Calvary didn't just come to reconcile humanity, but things in heaven and things in earth. And it's obvious that at least a third of the angelical host are going to be kicked out of heaven. They're going to reject even that gracious offer after all these centuries. Right now they're studying Ephesians 3:10. They're observing everything we say and do. And you see that most of the testimony doesn't bear this out. So there must be a frustration in the angelic world. Hear all these preachers claiming to be ministers of Christ and ignoring the one truth that will harmonize and bring it all into focus. I don't know whether you realize it or not, but I tell you, we are a privileged people here. I talked to Mr. Penny when he was here about the different meetings he's been in. We had more people on a Sunday here than he had in any meeting where he was. They were astonished that we had this many people. And you know, we haven't got but a handful. The average meeting he attends was about 25 or 30. That's from Canada to several meetings in the States, finally to the Lord. And I talked to the man who was here from Washington. He said they got about 25 people. I'm right now talking to a man in Jensen, Michigan, who has a group called the Biblical Research Society. I asked him how many he had. He said, well, we can register about 30. You see how blind the world is to these things? Now, we've got a deposit, beloved, with the billions of truths behind it. And here we sit. Something wrong. You know, all these things are coming together for me now like I've never seen them before. I could sit right here in this chair, believe it or not, for a year and expound on what God is revealing through His Word. And there's no hocus pocus about it. I'm not getting any shots from heaven at all, but the Holy Spirit in His quiet, as Elijah said, after all the rush and the fuss was over, the earthquake, the lightning, the thunders, the great storms, Elijah heard a what? A small, still voice. It's a still voice. It doesn't say, but it points you truths if you want to be guided into it, you see. But you've got to be quiet yourself. You've got to have the time to sit with God. God's no hurry. You know, I look like I'm facing death. You know, I don't know I'm going to die. Personally, I don't care one way or the other. I just want to be where He wants me to be. And when you get to be that, your affections are one-sided. They're all directed up, not here. See, that's my hope. And you don't have to feel sorry and say, well, you're losing. Well, you ain't losing, Mike. My goodness, this boat will be here if the Lord tarries another 100,000 years. And it hasn't even begun to be touched. And not one preacher in 10,000 is saying a word about this. And look at you. You're all in the body of Christ. You all have an obligation to make all see what is this dispensation of the mystery that was hidden from the ages. Hidden in God, even, not in hidden in the Scriptures. That's a tremendous challenge. You want a moving, motivating factor? Let me tell you, this little 70 and 10 will be over like that. and you stand and you say, well, I had to make a living. My God, folks, don't you know that God can furnish your table? Don't you know He can put clothes on your back? Even, but to show you how humans never learn, God fed the children of Israel for 40 years. They had nowhere to turn. Isn't that terrible? You get down to where you have to trust God, you can't do anything else. But that's where we are. Notice. In the body of Christ. Look, beloved. There's no such thing as a Greek or a Jew or a barbarian, a Scythian or free. But God in Christ is all that there is. Just what you're reduced to. Hallelujah. That's really right. But we have a God that can take us through. Make no mistake about this. We can say with David, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Why? Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff comfort me. See, if I should die, I'm going to have to go through a domain where Satan is strong. But you know who's going through with me? Yeah. I'll have plenty of company. Don't worry. And if the Lord allows it, I'll be watching you too. Turn to 2 Corinthians. This is the message you have to the world. And from this you can introduce them into the mystery along with the text that we read this morning. You see, that was not a secret. It was something that was hushed up. You remember I put the emphasis upon that. And it was hushed up. And when you go home, read Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 20 and 21. Here's a truth that is revealed by Moses. It's his last word to Israel. He gives them a history of all God's dealing with them. But the Jews have kept it hushed up. They didn't want anybody to know that a time would come when the Gentiles would provoke them. Instead of them provoking the Gentiles to get saved, it would be the Gentiles to them. They didn't want that. It was hushed up until Paul let the cat out of the box. And that was the problem. That's what the great conference was in the 15th chapter of Acts, to settle this controversy once and for all. It didn't settle at that time. In fact, it just blew the thing wide open. And Paul later, he really didn't again. Even Peter, when he came to Antioch, he was just wrinkling around the Gentiles, having a good time, and some of them from St. James's court came up down to Antioch. What did he do? He disassembled himself from the Gentiles. What did Paul do? Boy, he ate him up alive. Peter writes about it years later. Our brother Paul has some strange wisdom. But you better listen to him. Not only was Peter taken away by the fear of the hierarchy in Israel and Jerusalem, but Barnabas, Paul's own mate, got carried away with it. So don't be carried away by men at all. See, Paul makes this clear. I did not receive the gospel I preach from men. It was direct revelation from God Himself. And this council brought that out when they realized that Paul had a special mission to the nations. But the 12 apostles, where do you think their mission was? To the circumcision. And they stayed. When you read their letters, remember that. Because the Jews kept the law all the time throughout the book of Acts. And even some today claim that they're keeping it today. But of course they're not. They can't. They don't have a blood sacrifice to begin with. There's no way they can keep the law. For without the shedding of blood, there's what? No forgiveness. God's not being hard on Israel. Israel's learning a lesson they'll never forget. They'll never forget it. You see, God has promised them the land. They never got it. In the real promises, all the extensions of it. But they're going to. Israel's going to rise. they'll have their glory. But you see, that's what the gospel of Paul brought the Gentile into the blessings of Israel, not to the blessings of the mystery. Now, when the dispensational changed and the call changed, the gospel of Paul didn't change. It still was free, see. But it no longer had the old calling, but a new calling, which is with the celestials, not with earthly things. You see that? Beloved, you're to be a celestial people. And their bodies celestial, and their bodies triestial. Now, I think you ought to appreciate that. Because God has so much to offer us that, as John put it in his gospel, if the books were written to describe these things, the world wouldn't be big enough to hold them. There was a song about somebody. If the ocean was ink and you had a pen, it'd drain the ocean dry to write these things. I realize this is figurative language, but I believe it. I believe it could drain the ocean dry. When you consider the universe itself, the magnitude, the size of this universe, compared with this little grain of sand we live on, called the earth. Think about that. God, in other words, we're so self-earthly minded that we can't realize when we talk about the celestials, we're talking about something that you haven't got the foggiest idea what that'll entail. The furthest star, the people are trying always to discover the furthest star. And time won't even be a factor. Think about that. Be like talking to your neighbor over the backyard fence. Time won't interfere at all. See? Now that's a dimension that you and I don't even understand. But I'm sure there are a lot of mathematical geniuses that don't understand a lot of things going on in the field of math today, too. And they're making discoveries right and left. The basic truths are always there. But the expansion of those truths, man, is just fantastic. And this is what the mystery is. It is not a mystery. It is the mystery. It is the capstone of God's revealed word. It isn't hidden. It's made known. It's made manifest. For who? For the saints. If you profess to be a saint, if you profess to be a believer in Christ Jesus Christ, it is for you to know. Not only for you, but it's for the angelic world to know too. Right now, notice, this mystery is to the intent that the principalities and powers, the celestial beings of the heavenlies, might have this revealed to them through who? Us. Paul, in writing to the Colossians, says, Colossians 1:23, this gospel has been proclaimed to every creation. Where is every creation? Both in the things, in Colossians, both the things in the heavens and the things in earth. You see how far, when God set up a means of reconciliation, wherever there's rebellion in this universe, it makes no difference where it is. Once and for all, God made provision for those who would be reconciled to Him. That's why it's a two-way street, beloved. Some people say, well, I don't believe in universalism. I do. I used to say that too, because I thought it had to do with universal salvation. It does have to do with universal salvation. But it's a two-way street. God has made His provision. He's reconciled. You see? Truth is, now be ye reconciled. But like the angelic world, at least a third of them are still in rebellion. And will remain so, evidently from Scripture. I don't know what the percentage of earthlings are. But I tell you this, God will give every created being every opportunity, in the animal world even, they're going to be reconciled to. You no longer have to fear the lion. In fact, he'll be your best friend. You have a pussycat around the house that keeps things going. Yes. You see? Now, those are things we can kind of understand a little bit. But when you get out away from this planet and begin to realize that everything in this universe, both in heaven and earth, has been, God is reconciled to it. Now, the challenge goes out to the other rebel, recognize who he is. Be ye reconciled. Simply because there are some that are not, that want to be reconciled, doesn't change the picture one bit. God's made the provision. And we have a message, beloved, to the world itself. To wit, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 19. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the cosmos. What is the cosmos? That's God's order. Not just disorder we got down here, but God's order. Everything is to be reconciled to that order. Do you realize that Adam was made a little lower than God? But when Christ came, he was made a little lower than the angels. Adam had lost that dominion that was given to him, that authority, and became lower than the angels. When our Christ came, he came so that he could be a reconciliation of all things. He became lower than the angels. Reconcile. He took not upon him the nature of angels, but he took upon him the seed of Abraham. God's in the big business, not the little business. We all concentrate our efforts on what God's doing for us. See how selfish we are. God's not, there's not a selfish streak in him. He made provision for ever, the lowest man. And he exemplified that in his own life. When he came to this planet, he passed by the temple. And he is the priest, the high priest of Melchizedek, the highest of all. He passed by the temple. He passed by the throne. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. He passed by. He went down to an outhouse to be born. No child, regardless of who he is, ever went to a lower frame than he did. He moved in with the animals to be born. Everything he did in life demonstrated that he was who he is. It's 12 o'clock. I'm not through with this. As we got to get into this a little more deep next week. But at least we kicked it off. Got the groundwork. Please don't forget it. I wish you pray prayer that God will keep these things, thoughts in your mind, because I want to bring them into a clear fruition next week, the Lord willing. And the fact of the matter is, I've got a tape that we're going to run Tuesday down at the Tuesday luncheon by a man who's done a wonderful job of correlating these things. And I want you to hear that tape. If you can, Tuesday at lunch, come down to, what is it? That's Myriad Motor Inn. And pray for me this week, because I've got so many irons in the fire. And I'm not going anywhere, but I've got a lot of irons in the fire right here. And I need all the insight that God will give me. Father God, again, for the privilege I have to come here unhindered to talk to our brethren about these things, I want to express my gratitude as much as I can. And I pray that the hearts of these people, every one of them, will respond in the love that's been manifest in your word. And it will cause them to be very sober about these things, to think on these things, because Eternity is a long time, and we must give an account of our stewardship. And may it be the truth that everyone listening to this voice right now, when they come to that challenging moment in life, they can say with the Apostle Paul, I fought a good fight. I kept the faith. I did not turn just because the world did. I stayed with that great body of truth that opens up the Word itself. Thank you, Father, for attending to this matter. And this grace for Christ Jesus' sake, in whose name we ask it. Amen.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.